This is the son of PCJ.
On shortwave, AM, FM, and the internet, this is PCJ. Yeah! It's now time for the Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Perrone.
Oh, no!
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of your program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio. Today's show, we're going to be talking radio, but radio from a very personal perspective. I do have a very special guest on today's show. I met up with him at the SWL Fest that was held the beginning of March in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania. A friend of mine, in fact, that we go back more than 20 years. We haven't seen each other in 15 years, but he flew down from Montreal so we can hang out for a few days, and that's exactly what we did, and we recorded this thing that I thought would be fun to listen to today. As well, he brought some stuff from Montreal that I'd forgotten about. I should rephrase that. I shouldn't say I'd forgotten about it, but I didn't think there were any copies left. What is it? Well, stay tuned, and you'll find out. This past week, I have been listening to a particular CD over and over again. The CD is called Story of a Heart. Now, many of you, of course, are familiar with Benny Andersson. Benny Andersson is one of the Bees of ABBA. Of course, ABBA is no longer around, but he is still very busy as a composer and as a musician. This is a CD of his that came out a couple of years ago, and it is absolutely fantastic. It's the Benny Andersson Band. Here they are with Glasgow Boogie. Glasgow Boogie, the Benny Anderson Band from the album Song of a Heart, beginning today's edition of Happy Station. As I mentioned at the top of the show, at the beginning of March, I met up with an old friend of mine. We go back more than 20 years. And we met through radio, in fact. At the time, Boris was presenting a program called Short Waves that aired on CKUT in Montreal. In fact, I was a listener when we met up. And it was sort of, you can say, my breakthrough, so to speak, into radio. The show every week featured international broadcasters. Now, it wasn't a communications program. No, it wasn't that at all. Instead, we would feature the best of what shortwave had to offer. Now, this is at a time when there was no internet and there was no option to listen online or even satellite. The only way you can listen is by shortwave. So we met up, but he brought down with him some old tapes. Remember those tapes that included some of the early shows that I did? Now, this is a little bit embarrassing, but this is how I sounded in the early 1990s. I believe it was just before or just a week after the beginning of the first Gulf War. Good afternoon and welcome to Shortwaves, your weekly review of what's going on the world of international communications. I'm Keith Perron. On the program today, we're going to take a look at the situation in the Gulf with the BBC World Service program Newsreel. And then finally, we'll give you some frequencies and some broadcasters to tune into to find out what's going on with Bill Westenhaven, host, one of the hosts of the International Radio Report, which airs Thursdays here on CKUT. There you have it. Yours truly from about 21 years ago. Sounds frightening. But as you can see, it wasn't a show about what was going on in international radio. It was about the programming that was out there. So every week, for example, we would feature a BBC news bulletin, maybe an editorial from Radio Moscow, maybe a report from Deutsche Welle, Radio Netherlands, and many other international broadcasters. Now, we did the show from the late 1980s to around, I believe it was 1992. During that period, we also did a lot of special programs. For example, John Peel, who had the most listened to show on the BBC World Service. At the time when John Peel was alive, he did a show on the BBC World Service that was 30 minutes. Very different from the one that he did for Radio 1 in the UK. And it was really your only way to hear new music, not just new music, but also very popular bands in the UK, bring them to the BBC studios, have them record a session or two, and use them on the air. It was quite unheard of at the time. We did a four-part series on the Peel sessions for the show. And for it, we decided to invite along to CKUT and to Shortwaves a very well-known radio personality and TV personality in Canada. His name is Brent Bambury. Now, Brent Bambury hosted Brave New Waves on CBC Stereo, as it was called back then, for a good number of years. In fact, Brave New Waves even recorded sessions for themselves. And this was one of the shows that Boris hosted, who is my special guest today. And we'll take a little listen to it right now, because I have to admit, during the series, Shortwaves, that we had, we would always, we had different alternative versions of the theme songs, and this is probably one of my favorites. Now, those who were following new music back then will probably recognize it.
This is Radio Moscow, Moscow. This is Radio Moscow, and here is the news.
Vous écoutez bien sûr Radio France Internationale.
BBC.
Vous écoutez bien sûr Radio France Internationale.
BBC.
Moscow.
Czechoslovak Radio Prague. Czechoslovak Radio Prague.
Welcome to Shortwaves on CKUT Radio McGill, your show that brings you a taste of international broadcasting from the shortwave bands. Today we begin with the first in a series of four programmes on John Peel, the legendary British DJ and the popular Peel Session studio recordings at the BBC of some of pop's most influential groups. As many listeners are already aware, John Peel can be heard worldwide on the BBC World Service. In Montreal, you can listen to John Peel on the usual BBC frequencies in the 49-meter band at 11:30 p.m. Monday evenings. In winter, the show begins at 10:30 p.m. At the age of 49, John Peel plays tracks from newly released albums and singles from the contemporary music scene. He's been doing this for about 21 years now. His show on Radio 1 in England, the national pop station, attracts some 200,000 regular listeners per show, and many new and upcoming groups see this exposure as invaluable. So we thought we'd do something a bit different today and look in depth at one of the most loved shows broadcast on the shortwave bands, the John Peel Show. Joining us in the studio today, a person who is quite familiar with John Peel and the John Peel studio sessions, is Brent Bambury of Brave New Waves on CBC FM.
Hi, Boris.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine, thanks for inviting me.
I'd like to ask you, Brent, what do you think of the John Peel studio sessions, and what do they mean to Brave New Waves?
Well, the Peel sessions for us were an inspiring point, because we now record sessions of our own in our own 24-track studio at CBC. And the Peel sessions, especially when they began to be released on disc, told us that there could be a market for these kind of things, that they could be commercially successful, and that they could also be an invaluable help to young bands.
Now, Canadian broadcaster Brent Bambury, when we invited him to the CKUT studios to produce a four-part special for Shortwaves featuring the music of John Peel. So as you can see, we covered everything on the show, from topical news events of the day to editorials to music. We did it all, everything at the time that you can hear in North America off Shortwave. Just a little footnote, by the way, the theme song that you heard that was used on that show was from a band called Front 242, and I remember mixing it, because we had all these tapes, and I was in the studio with the engineer, and we're looking at all the tapes, and we had this piece of music, and we're thinking, what could we do with it? And we had three very large tape decks going, two-track machines and one 8-track machine. And it took us nearly 90 minutes to get that result. And I think, today you can do the same thing in less than 10 minutes. So we've certainly come a long way in technology, but I have to say, it was a lot of fun when we did it at the time, thinking, oh, let's take this clip here. I think there's like six or seven different alternative versions of that, and I have two, because Boris brought the tapes, and luckily there's only two left that exist, and we'll play them on another edition of the show coming up very soon. But anyway, Boris headed down to Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania at the beginning of March to meet up with me, because we hadn't seen each other in 15 years, and it wasn't in my itinerary to head up to Montreal. So he said, well, look, it's not far, I'll just pop down. And he did, and we spent 3 days together at the SWL Fest and just having a great old time catching up and remembering things that happened, 20, 25 years ago. So we're going to bring you now a little bit of the conversation that we had, and I think you're going to have a lot of fun listening to it. More than 20 years ago, on a station in Montreal, we did a show called Shortwaves. It wasn't about international broadcasting. It was taking stuff off shortwave and really illustrating to people the kind of thing that you can hear from the BBC World Service, programs like John Peel, the Tony Myatt Request show, BBC Newsreel, which is no longer on, to commentaries from Radio Moscow, And all kinds of other wacky things. Radio Netherlands. Now, I remember going to your house, and there was something that you had in your house that, if your back was turned, I would have walked away with it. It was a beautiful Cambridge radio,
which I still have. It was a Cambridge radio originally from the UK that we brought over from the UK, made by Pi from 1958. And if a lot of the people in your audience do remember, A lot of the radios that were in existence in those times worked on valves.
And for our American audience, that's tubes. Radio tubes, yeah.
Radio tubes that were the predecessor of the transistors that you see in modern radios now. And actually, that radio is still working fantastically well, and you can still pick up shortwave stations.
And just a question, does it have the green magic eye?
It has the famous green magic eye that comes together. There are two parts of it. It's difficult to describe to the audience listening, but I would say it's something like from maybe from James Bond 007, something akin to a radar. But what you see on TV when a ship is going in, you know, in difficult waters, there's the radar screen. What happens is when you have tuned the station perfectly, the two parts of that radio come together. So yes, it does have the famous green eye. One of the things it also has is also the famous plate. It's a plate that was a feature in the radio that would give you the positions of all the stations in Europe. So, for instance, if you wanted to listen to Radio Luxembourg in those days, or Radio Caroline, or Moscow, you would actually tune the, I would say, the side bar, I think that's the closest term, that would move up and down, and then it would fix in. So, for instance, if you're looking for London or Paris, you would move that dial to Paris until you saw this sidebar touch Paris. That means you were tuned in. But
yeah, but you know, I've noticed, and I've heard this from a lot of people, Bob Zanotti, who's a contributor here, worked at Swiss Radio International. He said that sidebar for him never worked. He said you'd go to Moscow. I think it was just for decoration more than anything,
it,
you know?
It was just for decoration. In the UK in those days, in the early 70s, you had BBC Radio 1, 2, 3, and 4, and they did have fixed frequencies on the medium wave band.
Yeah, but international broadcasters change frequencies.
That's right. So they were the only ones that were accurate. Everything else was not accurate. And as the Cold War progressed, all those frequencies changed radically, so it was not accurate. But that radio has a 12-inch wide speaker. So the sound coming from that is just immaculate.
Well, that's one thing, actually, about the old radios that is the sound from
that's
them.
Right.
But the thing that I don't like about them is today, with the modern digital radios, the radios you can just punch in the frequency, right. It locks into the frequency, right. You don't get the drifting or anything like that. And you know, today there's so much static out there.
Exactly.
Not too long ago, a friend of mine, he has a Telefunken, a very old Telefunken. It still works. And I was noticing that after a few minutes, it would slightly drift off frequency, something, of course, that the new radios have resolved.
They've resolved, yeah. That radio does, you know, obviously it will go off frequency. You hear the distortion that is very, you know, prevalent. That's part of the beauty of shortwave listening, is all the distortion and the noises and the number stations that you hear in shortwave. I mean, that's all the thrill of listening to shortwave. With the digital tuners, I think that, you know, obviously you have some drifting, but it's more accurate. And it's more of a computer nowadays. Just imagine that radio has a solid wood box. I think it's made of oak, and the sound coming from there is just really something else.
You were born in England.
Yes.
You spent a lot. Of course, you emigrated to Canada when your parents immigrated to Canada. Your father is Russian. Your
That's
mother
right.
is Italian.
That's right. And I'm Transylvanian.
And you're Transylvanian. But let me ask you: for listening to international radio, was this the reason why? Because when your dad moved to Canada, it was a way for him, let's say, to listen. Even though Radio Moscow was putting out garbage, was it just a way so that he can just hear the garbage they were putting out?
Well, that was you know, we're looking at the early 80s and. That was a time when shortwave and international broadcasting was at its peak. And it also, if you know, some of our younger listeners might not realize it, but that was pre-digital and pre-internet days. So there was no way of getting information outside of the country. The only way of getting that information was over shortwave. And so if you wanted to listen to the BBC, you wanted to listen to Radio Moscow in North America, or listen to Radio Moscow in Russian, that was the way to go.
Something I think that the younger generation today, who, let's say, don't know what shortwave is, had never heard of Radio Moscow. I was having this discussion with someone, and I said, you know, in some ways, these international broadcasters, be it Radio Moscow, Radio Canada International, Radio Australia, it doesn't matter who, they all had mailbag programs where people would write in, letters and comments were used on air. In some ways, if you think about it, it's almost like a very primitive version of social media.
Exactly, exactly. It was a very primitive way of social media and communicating in those days. And you had different stations. I think there was even a program on the BBC World Service, I forget the name, where they would where they would answer listeners' questions, and they would receive letters from all over the world. I think I must have written in once or twice. Radio Moscow had the famous, I think it was called Moscow Mailbag.
With Joe Adamov.
Exactly. And those were just such fun shows to listen to with different opinions. And what can I say? I mean, people used to use snail mail and didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. Now what we have, you know, in the digital age, obviously everything is instantaneous. And I think the new generation out there, they don't know how blessed they are that they can switch on a PC or a Mac and listen to the BBC World Service or any other station instantly or instantaneously.
But something I think that people don't know how to do anymore, and that's sit down with a piece of paper and pen, write a letter,
right,
write the address on the envelope, and send it. I mean, I actually, myself, I still enjoy doing that every now and again. It is different, you know, and I think that when you write a letter that way, you actually take more care with what you write. When you write on a keyboard,
yes,
you know, it's like with most of the new technologies out there. I mean, look, if we take cameras, for example. When you were using film, you know, you just didn't take picture after picture after picture.
Exactly.
You know, you saved a little. So that was sort of, getting back to international broadcasting, that was sort of your introduction into it and everything.
Well, that was my introduction, was to be able to get some news from the UK, from Europe, that was lacking in Canada at that time. Obviously, in 2012, it's a different world. Communication is instantaneous. But I think also the audience must realize, a lot of people probably also remember, what thrill it was to tune a radio dial on the shortwave bands in those days, where there were literally hundreds and hundreds of stations from all over the world, and actually be able to listen to the BBC or Moscow or any other station, sometimes under difficult conditions, at different times of the day when that station was not broadcasting to your region or area, mm-hmm. Was something else. It was a thrill to find that signal, to find and listen to that station.
The station that I remember the most, because I got such a thrill when I heard it for the first time, was Radio RSA, Radio South Africa. And they had that Twitter bird that
they
used to make that
beautiful jingle. I don't know if you have an archive of that. It's in my mind, but obviously we'd have to find that on the internet. Yeah. But that was
the one that I remember. What about yourself? What do you remember, the first thing that you heard? Radio Moscow, right?
Well, there would be obviously the Big Ben on the BBC, and also the chimes of the Kremlin bells. Things like that were certainly indistinguishable. If you heard those birds twittering from South Africa, you would know that that was Radio RSA.
Right. Just like, for example, Yankee Doodle Dandy on The Voice of America,
exactly.
The first four notes of O Canada,
exactly.
or the trumpet voluntary that the BBC World Service used to play.
Exactly. And those songs and tunes so define the radio stations. And I think in essence, they are very iconic of that age, of the 80s and the mid-80s, when shortwave was at its boom.
Yeah, because nowadays, very few broadcasts on shortwave have any type of interval signal. Some still do, like North Korea still has one, Radio Japan, if I'm not mistaken, but the BBC don't anymore. Nowadays, they just sign on. The Voice of America still has theirs, but other broadcasters just sign on.
Well, I think that originally the intent of that was for people in those areas to be able to actually sync their watches to the tones that were being broadcast at that time.
And also, when you had radios that didn't have a digital display, you had the slide dial, so at least you knew that if you heard that, you knew the station that was going to come on.
The station was on, and you knew, for instance, that it was 8 o'clock, because the BBC would give you the time in GMT, plus one, minus one, whether it's summer or winter. But you would know that you were listening to that station at a particular hour. I think nowadays with, cell phones and mobile phones and the internet, we've no need anymore to know what time it is. It's present everywhere.
My good friend Boris Shudov, when we met up at the SWL Fest in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania. We're going to have a short break and then a little bit of Nina Simone with Give Me Some, and then more of my conversation with Boris. Stay tuned. You're listening to the International Happy Station Show from PCJ Radio.
You can hear PCJ Radio while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news, talk, and entertainment mobile app available for your smartphone. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher from the App Store. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter PCJ to get automatically entered to win $100. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the right menu. PCJ Radio on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio.
And yellow, so I want you to be my fella. Stone insane. Give me some. I like fried chicken, you know it's true, but there's no sweeter meat in the world than you. I want someday to be your wife, so you can thrill me the rest of your life. So stop stalling, finish your drink, and let's get falling.
Here at the SWL Fest, there's been a number of very interesting forums that have been taking place. There was one that we went to today, in fact, on Radio Free Asia. That was quite interesting. And there was also one on Wi-Fi radios. and they had even like the first generation of Wi-Fi radio. And I'm looking at that and thinking, when is this thing going to load? You actually have one of those.
I have one of those. Unfortunately, my flight was delayed and I didn't arrive until the afternoon. I missed that conference. But
The one on Wi-Fi radio, you were here.
Okay.
I think it's the beer talking, Boris.
Maybe it's the beer talking. Who knows? Or it's late at night. But anyways, no, I have the first commercially sold Wi-Fi radio, which was the Acoustic Energy radio that I bought in the UK. And in those, I think a couple of years back, I paid £200, £200. Obviously, the prices now have gone down. And at that time, when I was in the UK, obviously, I'd heard of this radio being sold, and I kind of timed my visit to the time that radio was released on the market in the UK. And I said to myself, what a marvelous invention it is to be able to access all those radio stations without the use of a computer. So that was the first radio, as I said, commercially available that let you listen to any radio station you wanted that was broadcasting or streaming from your bedroom, from your kitchen, and liberated you from sitting down in front of the PC. And I think that's quite revolutionary now. And obviously, that's moved on where people can access those streaming stations now via mobile phones.
But you know, the first Wi-Fi radio I remember even getting my hands on, it was at a conference a long time ago. I have to tell you, I wasn't impressed. It had a menu, and it showed the BBC and other broadcasters, and every time I went to click on it, right, it was showing, okay, it's 1% ready, 2% ready, 3%, it was slow.
Yes. Keith, you're totally right. Obviously, in Europe and in North America, where internet speeds are fairly stable and fast, these stations will buffer and will load up quicker. That's one of the problems still inherent, but I do have a Logitech Squeezebox Wi-Fi radio, which I bought this year, and that has they've really improved on that. So basically, it can buffer within a second or 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. Some of the older Wi-Fi radios, one of the problems, as you say, was being able to get that station that was listed in their directory. One of the reasons being, at that time, was the fact that either the company would not update the URL, the new URL that station would be broadcasting on or streaming. But now what's happened is that people that do want to send in new URLs that go with the stations, they're able to log into the website and actually update those that information directly, so it makes for a quicker upswing. But I do know that Receiver, they maintain a database which is fairly decent, and VTuner also maintains a very decent database, and Logitech, if I'm not mistaken, is using the TuneIn radio database, which is very, very frequently updated. One of the problems Wi-Fi radios are having is tuning into stations in North America that will stream using the Flash Player on PC. There are not many systems, not many Wi-Fi radios that can handle that right now. One of the reasons being is that the advertisers and the station themselves want you to tune into their website and stream and listen to the station directly on their website.
But the thing is, by doing that, they're probably cutting themselves off because, it was just announced recently that that I think Adobe, that makes Flash, they said they're not going to do any more new versions at all. And, Wi-Fi radios now, there are some on the market that are portable Wi-Fi radios that are the size of an iPhone.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've become so small, they're inexpensive, and they're very easy to use. Let's now move to programming on radio. There was a time when the personality, and I think this is something that everybody can identify with, any city you went to in the world, it was the personality that was on the air. Today, in many cities around the world, including Montreal where you live, you're seeing automation. Somebody goes in, they put down a few voice tracks, they could be in another city, in another time zone,
exactly,
and everything is pre-programmed. And it's, I like to call it the McDonald's of radio. It's all pre-packaged, the fast food of radio. Yourself, what do you think of this?
I think you're totally right, Keith, in your observations. I think one of the things are, I mean, you probably have the Howard Sterns that have been around for a long time. People are going to tune in to his radio show. It's not available in Montreal, but if you do subscribe to Sirius Radio, you can listen to the broadcast. And they're tuning in for, you know, his opinions, his personality.
Well, you know, the thing is, we're talking about like the automated radio stations. What I don't get is why would you do that? Because most people these days have some type of MP3 player. So why would you listen to radio for something that you can just put on your MP3 player?
Well, I think what I was going to say is that I don't think people can stay long enough in radio to develop a personality. Simply, it's so competitive in North America that things change radically. One day you're there, the next day you're gone. So the cult of personality, of announcers that have been on the air for 20 years and more, I think that those days are gone. We're not going to see that anymore. That was more, you know, in the earlier days, in the 80s, mid-80s, you would be able to listen to the same person on radio very frequently, especially on the BBC. They would have a lot of announcers that have been there for many, many years, and people would tune in to, like, for instance, Chris Moyle's show. He's still broadcasting. I don't listen to it. And other, you know, other broadcasters. But I think that, you know, personality radio, I think that's a thing of the past.
Well, you know, Janice Law, who does the International Radio Report on a local station in Montreal called CKUT, she was making a presentation here of radio, of the places that she's traveled to. Unfortunately, I missed the presentation because I was busy with something else. But I've heard some of the stuff, and I remember thinking, it seems so much more interesting at what's happening in other countries. Overseas, radio is so vibrant. They're experimenting with new things with the stuff that I've heard that she has.
Although there was a comment made, one of the people attending the conference did say that in a lot of countries, especially in Africa, Latin America, they found that a lot of the stations, especially the intros and the extros, they were very Americanized. And not to say that that's good or bad, but just to say that even a lot of those stations abroad are sounding more homogenized these days. But certain stations, for instance, in Sudan and in Latin America that we did hear clips, were definitely much more innovative than commercial radio that we hear in Montreal.
Well, Boris, you know, we have to go right now. Let me take that again. Well, Boris, you know, right now I think we have to go because there's a session tonight happening in a few minutes. So anyway, thank you for coming by. We actually had a little bit of snack. Boris is drinking a beer called Yuan Ling, right? A lager.
Yuanlin Lager, and it's a lager from the Philadelphia area, which is actually very good and very yummy.
But it has a Chinese name.
It certainly does. I don't know why that is, but I'm told it's one of the new craft beers.
Boris, thanks a lot for talking to us today.
Thank you very much, Keith. All the best to you.
And that was my conversation with my good buddy, Boris Shirov. We worked together more than 20 years ago on a show called Short Waves. And by the way, the shows that he brought down on cassette are now available online, free of charge, by the way. Just go to pcjmedia.com and click on Radio Archives, and you'll find them there. So if you want to hear how I sounded more than 20 years ago, quite frightening, do go and take a listen to it, because there's also a lot of other very special shows that have been added to the Radio Archives section. If you wish to contact us, our email address is hs@pcjmedia.com. That's hs@pcjmedia.com, which of course stands for Happy Station. Time now for more music. Here's Erasure from the album Wonderland, a band that Boris got me hooked on, with the song March On Down the Line. Thank you.
I'm coming out this time. A new name. Let's play the game and march on down the line.
Erasure, March on Down the Line here on Happy Station. Now, some people have been asking, they say, well, when are you going to upload any of the pictures or write about, you know, what you did in the U.S.? Don't worry, actually, I'm still in the middle of writing it. It will be posted on the PCJ website very soon with a lot of pictures. And so do check it out, and I'll let you know when that will be up very soon. Now, when I was in Plymouth Meeting, I decided to take the Friday, the day before it ended, which because it ended on a Saturday, I decided to take Friday morning off, go away from the fest for a bit, and check out a little bit more the surrounding areas. So I got into a taxi and headed to a place called Chestnut Hill. Now, if you ever do go to the SWL Fest, I do suggest you go and visit Chestnut Hill. It's not that far away. It's around 15 minutes by taxi, but it is absolutely fantastic. Cobblestone streets and everything. It's really, really, it's very, very nice. And as you know, because I mentioned it before on the show, when I travel or even here in Taipei, when I'm walking around, I always like to go to vinyl shops. Well, could you believe it? The taxi driver stops at the main street in Chestnut Hill. In front of what? A vinyl shop. Of course, I had to go in and spend a considerable amount of money and bought a lot of stuff. We're going to take a listen to one of the recordings that I managed to find there. It's an album that I used to have many years ago and lost it, but I managed to find another copy of it. It's of Tiny Tim, the first album that he put out on the Reprise label called God Bless Tiny Tim that features the song Tiptoe Through the Tulips. Now, we're not going to listen to that song instead. I thought we'd listen to one of my favorite songs on the album, Fill Your Heart, that came to us all the way from Chestnut Hill, just down the road from Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania, USA, that I picked up when I was there. Here's Tiny Tim.
Fill your heart with love today. Don't play the game of time. That happened in the past, happened in your mind, in your mind, oh, in your mind, in your mind. Forget your mind and you'll be free. Happiness is happening, the dragons have been bled. Loveliness fears just in your head, in your head, oh, in your head, in your head. Forget your head and you'll be free. The writing's on the wall, free, and you can know it all, know it all. If you choose, remember lovers never lose. They are free of thoughts unhuman and of thoughts unkind. Gentleness can clear the head, love can clean the mind and make it free. Remember, lovers never lose. They are free.
Tiny Tim and Fill Your Heart from the album God Bless Tiny Tim, an album that I picked up in Chestnut Hill while I was attending the SWL Fest at a nice little vinyl shop that I found in that little town. And they had so many things, and I bought, it must have been about 100 or so 45 RPMs and a lot of vinyl. Let's just say, when I came back to Taiwan, even though I left Taiwan with two suitcases, I came back with four. And I know that some of you right now are thinking, Keith, you're totally mad. Wait, who would get on a plane, fly more than 16 hours, then head down to Plymouth Meeting just to buy a Tiny Tim record? Well, you know, I'm a little bit unhinged, you know. Anyway, that's it. That's all we have time for on this edition of the program. Once again, if you wish to contact us, our email address is very simple. It's hs@pcjmedia.com. That's hs@pcjmedia.com. You can also find Happy Station, as well as the other PCJ programs, on Facebook. Just do a search for PCJ Media, PCJ Radio in Facebook, join the group, and that's all. At the same time, by the way, you can also follow us on Twitter. You'll have all the information on our homepage. Just go to www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com, and you'll see everything there. Now, before we go, we do have something very special that we're going to announce for the month of May. Yes, something very special that we're going to announce in the month of May. And it is, well, I can't do it now because it's not May. So you'll have to figure out what that is. If you know what it is, well, let us know. Anyway, I have to leave you right now. So on behalf of our technician, Kevin Lee, and Johann Backer, our production assistant, this is Keith Parent saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
Call the PCJ answer line at country code 44-20-3286-1399. That's country code 44-20-3286-1399 and leave your comments and questions. On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is PCJ Radio.